back with the broadcast and more delusional information. Not to turn you off, but to get you motivated to learn more. Have you ever heard of the International Steering Committee for Global Mapping? And what is a global map, people? Digital geographic information in 1 kilometer resolution covering the whole land with standardized specifications and available to everyone at marginal cost. That is what a global map is. Digital geographic information in 1 kilometer resolution. Covering the whole land with standardized specifications and available to everyone at marginal cost. How many layers are there in a global map? Global maps have data 8 layers thick. Boundaries, drainage, transportation, population centers, elevation, land cover, land use, and vegetation. How is a global map produced? Under international cooperation, data are produced mainly by national mapping organizations participating in global mapping projects. And how is a global map used for? To protect the global environment in the 21st century, the global map is useful for global change monitoring and environmental analysis. The International Steering Committee for Global Mapping, people. Have you ever heard of it before? Where does it come from? It comes out of Japan. Japan has been an occupied country since 1945, the conclusion of the Second World War. My goodness gracious, people. What do you think Sony is but Standard Oil of New York? Incredible. The lack of knowledge is incredible, people. What does Sony stand for? Standard Oil of New York. Uh-oh. I couldn't go somewhere, and I just got shut down. My computer got shut down. So we're back to square one again. Absolutely amazing. I tell you, this flying by the seat of your pants here is just amazing. More quotes for you from Jim Sebastian, or Jim Sabison, I guess his name is pronounced. He's the EPA press official. We routinely wrote scare stories about the hazard of chemicals, employing words like cancer and birth defects, to splash a little cold water in reporters' faces. Our press reports were more or less true. Few handouts, however, can be completely honest, and ours were no exception. We were out to whip the public into a frenzy about the environment. Once again, Jim Sabison, former EPA press official, makes this statement. I repeat, we routinely wrote scare stories about the hazards of chemicals, employing words like cancer and birth defects to splash a little cold water in reporters' faces. Our press reports were more or less true. A few handouts, however, can be completely honest, and ours were no exception. We were out to whip the public into a frenzy about the environment, end quote. How about Timothy Wirth, U.S. Undersecretary of State? He's in the State Department, people, if you didn't know. Quote, we've got to ride the global warming issue. Even if the theory of global warming is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic policy and environmental policy, end quote. In other words, lie to the public, get whatever you can in place to accomplish your goals of totalitarian control. Timothy Wirth, U.S. Undersecretary of State, we've got to ride the global warming issue. Even if the theory of global warming is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic policy and environmental policy. Timothy Wirth, U.S. Undersecretary of State. Oh, my. How can this be? Well, how about Stephen Schneider from Stanford University, and he's an environmentalist. Quote, we have to offer up scary scenarios about global warming and destruction of the environment, make simplifies dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts we might have. Each of us has to decide what the right balance is between being effective and being honest. How about David Graber, research biologist at the National Park Service? He makes this statement, quote, human happiness and certainly human productivity are not as important as a wild and healthy planet. I know social scientists who remind me that people are part of nature, but it isn't true. Somewhere along the line, and about a billion years ago, and maybe half that, we quit the contract and became a cancer. We have become a plague upon ourselves and upon the earth. Until such time as Homo sapiens should decide to rejoin nature, some of us can only hope for the right virus to come along. How regurgitatory can that be? We're constantly being inundated with propaganda, people. That's my point tonight. Constantly being inundated with propaganda. Let's hear David Graber again. And he's a research biologist for the National Park Service. Human happiness and certainly human productivity are not as important as a wild and healthy planet. I know social scientists who remind me that people are part of nature, but it isn't true. Somewhere along the line, at about a billion years ago, and maybe half that, we quit the contract and became a cancer. We have become a plague upon ourselves and upon the earth. Until such time as Homo sapiens should decide to rejoin nature, some of us can only hope for the right virus to come along. Well, speak for yourself, Mr. Graber. All these people that I've quoted tonight, you've never heard of them. Because most of you don't do any research. Most of you are waiting for us to have the answer and the solution. That's too bad. From the website bnp.org.uk, that's bnp.org.uk, a national database containing confidential details about every child in Britain is to be set up by the new Labour government. An identifying number will be assigned to each child so that the authorities can access their records. The prophecy of George Orwell has come true, not in 1984, but in 2004. Details of the shock proposals affecting all 13.5 million children in Britain under the age of 18 are contained in cabinet papers leaked to various papers over the weekend. All parents will receive letters from the government informing them of the plan, which will be added to the children's bill in the autumn. Keep in mind, what is Great Britain but a disarmed society? Totally disarmed. Can't do a thing about it. The Central Electronic Register will hold information on a child's school activities. GP and hospital visits, police and social services records, and home address and other as yet undecided information. Along with these proposals, there are also plans in place for the government to vaccinate all children with new designer drugs that prevent them from getting drug addiction as adults. But this is new technology that has no testing or track record of safe use. The fact that our government is about to use our children as guinea pigs for new untested drugs and Big Brother monitoring laws shows how far the Labour government has descended into tyranny, and we're talking about England, Great Britain. We always came to the rescue of Great Britain in the First World War and the Second World War, didn't we? We're subservient to Great Britain because the Rothschilds, Bank of London and Berlin, purportedly owns 52% of the Federal Reserve system. The information database will also include information on their families, such as whether parents are divorced or separated, and will probably include details of their parents' known political opinions and affiliations. It is current practice that children, while at school, that are reported for making the most innocuous of so-called racist comments by a nut extremist teacher are logged on secret files held by the head teacher and stored in the local education authority office. This file is held on the child until they are 24 years old. If the school refuses to undertake the reporting procedure as enacted under the findings of the McPherson report, then the CRE can refuse to issue them. School funds held under control by the CRE, even though no law has been passed to legitimize this system of Gestapo-like secret reporting of children, the government has been using it for at least 5 years. The planned database will also be designed to identify problem relatives, including aunts and uncles who have a history of alcoholism or drug misuse. It will be filed under each child's unique identifying number. Where have we heard that before, listeners? The sins of parents then become the sins of the children. The original sin of being born poor, white, and working class in a shattered mining or steel community will now form our part of the state's control over children. The secret decision to create a universal children's database was approved by the Ministerial Committee on Children, Young People, and Families, chaired by Charles Clark, the Education Secretary, last month, but kept confidential for fear of a public outcry. Oh, my. The government believes that the move will help social services and police to identify and protect children who are at risk of abuse or neglect. Though, of course, the neglect of the state by destroying our country and our children to become drug addicts out of despair will not be addressed. And we're talking about England now. Restricted minutes of the meeting, reveal that ministers have privately agreed to the National Children's Database, rejecting proposals for the system to cover only those children thought to be at risk. According to the minutes record, quote, turning to the question of who the database will cover, the Minister for Children, Young People, and Families, Margaret Hodge, said that all children should be included. This fitted with the prevention agenda and reduced the risk of stigmatization. Information collected could also be used to support service planning and delivery, end quote. Parents would not have access to the database, but would be able to apply to see details held on their children under the Data Protection Act. Whether they will be able to change those details if they are wrong is another matter. Ministers at the meeting included Margaret Hodge, Paul Boateng, Lord Philken, Estelle Morris, and Alun Michael raised concerns about the technical challenge of setting up the database. The government has been hit by the failure of several new computer systems, including the Child Support Agency, Inland Revenue, and the Criminal Records Bureau. These are the criminals that will one day face trial for this vile scheme, apparently. The government has commissioned a feasibility study into the plans that held negotiations with several companies, including Eurarian, which runs national credit checking services. Perhaps someone should investigate the financial links between Eurarian and donations made by its parent company, Gus PLC, owner of Burberry and Argos Retail, to the Labour Party election funds before Orwell's nightmare becomes new Labour policy for children. And the information that I just covered came from www.bnp.org.uk/news/2004_July/news_July25.htm. Oh, do that again. All right, I'll do it again. Get ready. bnp.org.uk/news/2004_July/news_July25.htm. I don't usually give out web addresses, but this one needs your attention. Keep in mind, the inhabitants of Great Britain are disarmed. Through the UN system, they've been disarmed. They haven't figured out how to get to us yet, but they're working on it. Maybe it's going to happen rather fast. As soon as a publicized shooting comes into place that receives major media attention, you wait and see what happens. Oh, boy. According to the BillingsGazette.com, it's an Associated Press article. They say the federal government says Wyoming does not have the legal right to sue over wolf management in the state. The federal government says Wyoming does not have the legal right to sue over wolf management in the state. The federal government says Wyoming does not have the legal right to sue over wolf management in the state. Does that ring a bell to you? This is very recent, dated the 23rd of July. In documents filed Wednesday in U.S. District Court, the U.S. Department of the Interior also claims that the court does not have jurisdiction over the issue and that Wyoming failed to exhaust administrative remedies before filing suit over wolves. The documents responded to a lawsuit Wyoming filed in April after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife rejected the state's wolf management plan. The agency is requiring Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming to submit plans it deems acceptable before removing wolves from Endangered Species Act protection. Amazing. Wyoming's classification of wolves as predators outside the national parks and wilderness areas of northwest Wyoming and open to be shot with little oversight contributed to the rejection. Quote, to the extent a response may be deemed necessary, defendants deny that the plaintiff is entitled to the relief requested or to any relief whatsoever, end quote, the response said. I'm finding very difficult how to follow this. Wyoming Attorney General Pat Crank took Duke issue with that of other claims. Quote, if the state and its citizens who have been subjected to this federal action don't have the ability to question that action at all, I'm left to wonder who the heck does, end quote, he said. Well, that's a mouthful, people. An absolute mouthful. Once again, Wyoming Attorney General Pat Crank. He said, quote, if the state and its citizens who have been subjected to this federal action don't have the ability to question that action at all, I'm left to wonder who the heck does, end quote. He said the federal government's contention that Wyoming cannot legally sue is made regardless of whether the Interior Department or its officials violated federal laws or the U.S. Constitution. Boy, that's amazing. What is the U.S. Constitution anymore today, people? Quote, it's sad, but that's the kind of absurdity and arrogance that this administration has shown towards states and particularly the state of Wyoming, end quote, Crank said. Well, let's see what happens when Kerry gets into office. See how much different it changes. I'm not standing up for Bush, people. But I would say Kerry is going to be a little bit scary. And there's a good billion of third parties out there. And what is your vote count anyway? You have the lesser of two evils to vote for. I failed to see how this next 4 years is going to be under Bush or Kerry. You know, why not just give the presidency to Hillary Rodham Clinton and let it all roll? According to Gene Soderman, Hillary does not take orders very well. The president is an order taker. Both Bush and Kerry are Skull and Bones members, I'm told. Back to this. Crank said the refusal to address the issues of the case is a tactic often employed by federal attorneys. Quote, why don't they defend on the merits? The question that we put squarely in front of the court. Did you reject the Wyoming Wolf Management Plan under the dictates of the Endangered Species Act? I'm flabbergasted that they just won't answer that question, end quote. This is all part of the plan. We have to accept it whether we like it or not. Assistant U.S. Attorney Carol Statkus declined to respond because she had not heard Crank's remarks firsthand. She said only that the answer to the lawsuit is a matter of public record and raises a number of defenses. Well, that's pretty amazing, Tim. Wyoming can't sue over wolf management plans. Well, isn't that just amazing? The beat goes on, people. Also, I covered today on the shortwave broadcast and nobody heard because it was shut off. Is this being heard now? Huh. I'll find out. Get used to forest fires, climate scientist warns. Ain't this something? A forest fire researcher says the Yukon is likely to continue to burn in years to come as the effects of climate change turn up the heat in the woods. Oh, my. Hundreds of fires across the territory this summer have burned more than 1 million acres of forest, darkened the skies for days in some regions, and put a damper on the all-important tourist traffic. Mike Flanagan says it's just going to get worse. Quote, the reason you're having your bad fire season this year is because of the weather. End quote, says Flanagan, a fire weather scientist with the Canadian Forest Service. Flanagan believes global warming is a reality, and he says flaming forests are part of a vicious cycle of fire. Right. Right. Ain't that something, people? Quote, as the climate warms, we get more fire. More fire creates more carbon dioxide, which means it gets warmer, which means more fire, end quote. Flanagan has spent the past 20 years mapping weather and fire patterns. He says a big part of climate change is variability. He says Yukoners can expect more extreme weather, more storms, and more fires. We just can't say when. Quote, droughts like that will become more frequent in the future, end quote. Quote, it won't mean every year will be a bad fire season, but they will be more frequent than they have been in the past, end quote. Flanagan says forestry scientists are watching the Yukon situation closely this year. He says the fires in Alaska and the Yukon are being studied for clues about what to expect in the future. Another good piece of information from Tim. People, the Global Fire Monitoring Center is there for you to look at. It's at AmericanExpose.com on page 2. The Global Fire Monitoring Center needs your attention. You need to educate yourself and educate others. Otherwise, what good are you? There's lots going on, lots of information to disclose. And once again, if you don't, what good are you? I know people that sit and do nothing. And could be very, very useful and very, very productive. But they do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. But watch reruns of Bonanza. The sad commentary that we have today. Once again, Dr. Reed Noss, director of the Wildlands Project, which he has a lot of support in Congress, evidently. Quote, the collective needs of the non-human species must take precedence over the needs and desires of humans, end quote.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Pam Stegner. Do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals. Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435, or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
This program on firstamendmentradio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of firstamendmentradio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
We're back with the broadcast. Pokerface.com is the website. They do a marvelous job, and we seem to play them more and more. Oh boy, this is a biggie. July 2nd, 2004, volume 69, number 127. These are under the guise of notices, page 40410. That's 40,410. Notice of availability of an environmental assessment or a habitat conservation plan and receipt of application for incidental take of the Houston Toad by Aqua Water Supply Corporation, Lower Colorado River Authority, Blue Bonnet Electric Cooperative Incorporated, and Austin Energy. The agency, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service of the Interior. And the action is notice of availability. The summary goes as this. The Aqua Water Supply Corporation, Lower Colorado River Authority, Blue Bonnet Electric Cooperative Incorporated, and Austin Energy, these are the applicants, have applied to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for an incidental take permit, TE-078366-0, pursuant to Section 10A of the Endangered Species Act of 1973, as amended, the Act. The requested permit, for which is for a period of 30 years, would authorize incidental take, that's incidental take, of the endangered Houston toad, the Bufo houstonensis, during the routine maintenance and repair of existing facilities and installation of new facilities within the 142,526-acre covered area of Bastrop and Lee Counties, Texas. The service and applicant have prepared the Environmental Assessment and Habitat Conservation Plan, the EA/HCP, for the incidental take under the National Environmental Policy Act, the NEPA, will not be made until at least 60 days from the date of publication of this notice. This notice is provided pursuant to Section 10C of the Act and the NEP Regulations 40 CFR 1506-6. The dates, written comments to the application should be received on or before August 31st, 2004. And I'm not going to give you the addresses, but for further information, contact Scott Rowan at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The number 512-490-0057. That's 492-490-0057. Under the Supplementary Information, Section 9 of the Act, that's the Endangered Species Act, people, prohibits the taking of endangered species such as the Houston toad. However, the service, under limited circumstances, may issue permits to take endangered wildlife species incidental to and not the purpose of otherwise lawful activities. Regulations governing permits for endangered species are at 50 CFR 17.22. The applicants, Aqua Water Supply Corporation, Lower Colorado River Authority, Blue Bonnet Electric Cooperative Incorporated, and Austin Energy, have developed an HCP that specifies what steps the applicants will take to minimize and mitigate impacts to the Houston toad during routine activities, including but not limited to maintenance, repair, upgrades, and new installation of linear and fixed foundation facilities. The applicants cooperatively developed this alternative in order to provide tangible conservation measures for the Houston toad and wildlife in general, provide a reliable source of funding available for additional conservation initiatives, provide realistic and immediate solutions to business needs, and continue to provide timely and affordable services to local residents. Issuance of the permit would authorize activities described above that I've just covered on approximately 6,722 acres of the 142,526 acres covered area. And I'm not going to get into too much more legalese about it. However, I'm going to cover this. The EA/HCP would provide mitigation fees throughout the life of the permit and thus provide a substantial and dependable source of funds for toad conservation. An expected $1,866,354 over the life of the permit, which is 30 years evidently. The applicants propose this mitigation strategy so that the cost of mitigation could be spread over the life of the permit. Additionally, under this strategy, the costs associated with mitigation could be incorporated into long-term budgeting and planning. That's a mouthful, boy. Once again, coming from Tim Revere. July 2nd, 2004. Incidental Take, Houston Toad, Aquifer Supply Corporation, Cost Utility customers just $1,866,354. Does that mean anything to you out there? Probably not. That is the sad commentary that we have tonight. So much ignoration of people. So much saying that, well, what can we do? Well, you can become very learned about what's going on and spread the word. And hope those on the inside will understand what they're a part of. This global governance system is so deep, so all-encompassing, so thorough. It's been going on for so long. We covered Orwell's plan about the children in Great Britain. The identification number to assign each child so that authorities can access their records in England, in Britain. Well, dated November 1974, regarding the UN's task force to regionalize the world, the UN quietly regionalized England. Coming from Nelson A. Pryor, state representative of the state of New Hampshire, 1974. Coming from the National Educator. We ought to have enough time before the conclusion of this broadcast to cover this, and it's very, very pertinent. From the past to the present, people, that's where we go. The United Nations organization has been busy implementing its assigned task of regionalizing the world, not satisfied with the existing government boundaries and forms of government. It had meddled into the internal affairs of member nations by its resolution 1086. The UNO, that's the UN organization, authorized the Secretary General to organize a cadre to promote regionalism along with research facilities and training programs. A member nation of the UNO, England, is now feeling the full effect of the heel of regionalism. England has been busted up into 9 regions. Isn't that amazing? England's in 9 regions. We're in 9 regions in this country. No, actually, we're in 10 regions. Copies of the map, along with the report, are available from the New Hampshire Citizens Lobby, and I don't think you can find this anymore, 138 Main Street, Berlin, New Hampshire, 03570, at a reasonable charge, they say. Keep in mind, this article was published in 1974, and there's no reason to believe that this organization still exists. The Town and Country Planning Act of 1947 set the stage for England. Keep in mind, all this was implemented during the late 40s. Human Development Treaties, the GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, UNITO, NATO, and the Town and Country Planning Act of 1947. Keep in mind also the Bar Treaty of 1947, bringing the courts under the UN jurisdiction, is a reality today. But this Town and Country Planning Act of 47 set the stage for England, and under this act, the county and county borough councils, the county was for urban areas and the county borough councils for rural areas, had to come up with a planning program that would meet the approval of the Minister of Planning. Failure of the 140 councils to come up with a suitable plan by 1952 would cause the central government to supersede and impose its own planning program. People were armed back then. They could have done something about this. The act was in detail requiring county and town maps, supporting evidence and specifics such as requiring all new or expanded industries to have industrial development certificates before startup could get underway. The softening up process having gotten underway, the next step was much easier. That was to break England up into 9 regions in 1965. Each region was administered by a regional planning board, consisting of the senior staff officer of the regional offices of the central government, and an economic policy council consisting of appointees of the Secretary of State for Environment. To lock in this appendage and make it an internal part of the body politic, the Town and Country Planning Act of 1968 was passed by Parliament. Further inroads were made on traditional home rule of the 140 county and county borough councils through the formation of 44 planning authorities to supersede and replace local planning. In effect, the Act institutionalized three-tier planning. The central government established national policy. Then the nine regional planning councils were to collaborate with the 44 planning authorities to plot their regional strategies, with resultant plans subject to modification by the central government. Each planning council's regional strategy would then be filled out by the planning authorities assigned to it, with the final plan approval subject to the central government. What is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto? A strong central government. Despite the apparent tight reins, however, the 1968 Act freed the planning authorities from the finer and cumbersome mass of statutory detail that was characteristic for older planning acts. This has allowed a no-man's land for citizen control as administrative rules filter down from the regional planning councils. The RPCs, regional planning councils, have, for instance, established their own assisted areas for aid money they control. These areas are the special development area, the development area, and the intermediate area. The English government is becoming unglued as power follows money. These nine regional planning councils have acquired power through control over capital expenditures, various grants and subsidies, which each have to dish out. Power is thus gravitating around each of the regionals as the Crown government is phased out along with the rest of the hitherto foreign nations of the world. None are so blind as those that refuse to see, and that is the case that we have today as well. As we've talked about in the past, but dated October 20th, 2003, the implementation of Agenda 21 and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development. They talk about at the World Summit on Sustainable Development, the WSSD, the international community called on the UN Commission on Sustainable Development, the CSD, to reshape itself by placing more emphasis on actions that enable implementation at all levels. This past May, the Commission, and we're talking about a year ago, May, responded by adopting a series of path-breaking reforms. They are a necessary step towards making the United Nations more responsive and relevant to the needs of all, especially developing countries. This implementation of Agenda 21, people, and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development comes from, you guessed it, the U.S. Department of State. At the CSD 11th session, members agreed to limit the number of negotiations and to focus on how the international community, governments, international organizations, civil society, and the private sector can work together to achieve our ambitious and critical objectives. We also agreed at CSD 11 to focus each two-year cycle on a set of priorities. The thematic cluster for 2004-2005, water, sanitation, and human settlements, will give us a key opportunity to build on not only the WSSD, but also the World Water Forum in Kyoto this past March, and we're talking about March 2003. Finally, we agreed to several innovations to facilitate action and capacity building. This includes a learning center where experts from around the world will give and receive training during the CSD meeting. CSD, Council on Sustainable Development people. We also agreed to build on CSD 11s, and once again, that's 11 years. Council on Sustainable Development 11 years later. Successful partnerships, fair concept, and private, and provide a forum for representatives of sustainable development partnerships to exchange experiences, enhance their ongoing partnerships, and forge new ones. These reforms represent a new and promising way of doing business at the United Nations. Next April's CSD 12 review session will be a critical test of whether the UN can convene international experts to truly focus on how we solve some of today's most critical problems, not through norm setting, but rather through real actions on the ground, and that was April of 2004. And the beat goes on. They say, we cannot afford to waste this opportunity. The design of the meeting should make it clear that this CSD 12, Council on Sustainable Development 12, is a session not just for diplomats, but for technical experts from a wide range of government agencies. And that it is just, that it is not just a session for governmental representatives, but for implementation actions from all sections of society. All sections of society. And that it is not merely a session to hear speeches in a plenary hall, but it is a dynamic session to exchange experiences and ideas, and indeed faster action. The documents we have seen thus far seem to focus on the old way of doing business. We urge the CSD 12 Bureau and Secretariat to set their sights high as they prepare for next year's meeting. And that was this year's meeting in April. CSD 12. I covered it when I was on the air then. CSD 12 is a tremendous opportunity to make substantial progress on water, sanitation, and human settlements. As is true so often in these settings, format will determine substance. What a mess. Have the Whitewater to Blue Water Partnership, too. The WW2BW, that's the Whitewater to Blue Water Partnership, first announced on September 2nd, 2002 at the World Summit on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg, South Africa. That was September 5th of 2002. I was off the air. Alex Wallenwein, a editor and publisher of the Euro versus Dollar Currency War Monitor, has made statements in the past. The ongoing war against the overpowered dollar exemplifies how Agenda 21 is being implemented off our radar screens. This is done via the planned establishment of three main currency zones: Europe, the Americas, that's North and South America, and Asia. These will later be combined into a global cashless digital currency system that will allow its issuers absolute control over every aspect of our lives. Oh, and people could say, oh, this is all foretold in the Bible. There's nothing to do. We might as well just let it happen. It's all foretold in the Bible. Bible prophecy coming to fruition. How many times has the Bible been rewritten? How many times has the Bible been re-edited? And who wrote the Bible? And who's King James? Religion is belief. Not one ounce of documentation in the Bible. Oh boy, am I going to set off some heads now. Am I going to make some people angry now? I really don't care, people. I really don't care. I've heard so many opinions from the Bible, so many people's thoughts about the Bible. How many times has it been rewritten over the centuries? Can you trust what you're reading in the Bible again? Can you trust what's being derived from the Bible? What you can verify today is there's a global governance system being engineered called Agenda 21 in every country in the world. Iraq wasn't implementing any phase of Agenda 21. There's more sovereignty in the Middle East than any place else in the rest of the earth. And that's why the Middle East mess is underway. Capitulating into World War III, as planners have foretold to us. This is not pleasant. This is not enjoyable. And this is a responsibility that has been thrown on me again to be back on the air. But when you sit back and say, what do we do? And you don't even care to educate yourself and research and spend time understanding what's being developed. And you expect others to fix it for you. That's a democracy. Waiting for someone else to come and fix the problem for you. Waiting for someone to save the day. When only a total group of people understanding and getting their own research and coming to a consensus, that's their word, not mine. That's the opportunity that we have in this late date. Otherwise, what chance do we have? And that is the problem, people. Much more to cover. We'll try and get it done tomorrow. And maybe hear from you. Do research. Go to AmericanExpose.com. There's plenty there. Study the Global Fire Monitoring Center and see what's happening in the Yukon and in Arizona and in California. Fires everywhere. I'll live and die for you. 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 The masses don't make a history. It's only by the driven few. People, it's time we took a stand to fight for a promised land. There'll never be another time to fix bridges.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue...